The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, Smash Master Derby Parts, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLinkHorn.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to the Crash Course. That is the old one, if in case you didn't notice how it just dropped right dead there at the end. old intro. Had to get everything corrected from Sunday when we realized we had some old information for you in the intro and the ad spots. We'll be playing those a little bit later on. We've got the winner of Metal Mayhem 2014, promoted by Derby Icons. Daryl Monroe is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking to Jeremy Gard after that, and then we'll finish up our hour together here tonight with Travis Seward, who came away with his first win at the Total Destruction Derby in Morris at the Otsego County Fairgrounds, his first win in 4 years. So that was kind of cool for him, and he had to drive and earn a lot of recognition
did.
There.
Yes, he did.
Josh Decker, Ben Hosbell joining us in studio. We've got Brian here as well. what do you what?
Already, Decker.
You okay?
Sorry. Already, Decker?
Sorry.
You okay?
Something about that. Something just like a big picture of Brian made me laugh. I'm sorry. I don't know what it was. Sorry.
Isn't it early for that?
I'm sorry.
Man.
I don't know
didn't
why.
Take it.
That was like natural.
You got it out of your system now?
Well, don't pick on Josh because you're the one that had to adjust the camera yesterday because you said the cushion didn't go down as far when I sat there.
It's true.
Anybody else want to get in on it? Anybody? We got some callers out there. Is the number still up and working?
Please call it.
By the way, Steve,
fun,
Steve Manchaki from Total Destruction calls Brian Slim.
Yep.
That's awesome.
You invited it.
Yep. Anything else?
I got to turn your microphone down because your booming voice is...
No, I'm just yelling. It's not the microphone. I'm just yelling.
Did you have a good Father's Day?
I had an incredible Father's Day other than
That's
the whole
good.
Having to work thing.
Well, I know. It's one of those things. We had a good day yesterday.
You guys had a good show?
Yeah, it went pretty well. We were on here for, what was it, like an hour and 45 minutes or something?
Yeah,
it was
great.
Had some callers from all over the place. Troy Tagg called in from California, and we talked to Russ Clark in Ohio, and...
Guy way up in Canada.
Yeah, guy up in Quebec called in too.
His accent was awesome. Yeah. I just want to hear him talk.
He didn't talk like the up above Buffalo Canadians. He talked like George St. Pierre. Where there's a lot of French involved.
Yeah.
Has Ross got his voice back yet from
Close.
Cash?
He's getting there.
Yeah. All right, just checking because he was pretty hoarse when he left.
He's gaining ground on it. Yep, he's gaining ground on that. It was a good weekend. There was a lot of stuff all over the place. We had Jonathan Muse got a win. Got two wins in the same
two
night
wins, yeah.
over
yeah,
the weekend
clean house.
In Clayton. He won the wire class and he won the pro mod class in Clayton, Wisconsin. And then Rob Ostrander, this close to knocking off Mark Benjamin over at Bath.
I've been run at Bath a bunch of times, and Mark Benjamin is one of those. He's been derbying a long time on a derby family, and Rob Ostrander is pretty new to the sport, and he stuck it out with Mark head to head and defended the feature for almost 20 minutes. I heard
really,
yeah. Just and let's be honest, Mark can drive, and Mark will stuff you real quick. And if you make a mistake, and I said to him, I was saying today he should start running some better shows, some bigger shows. And he said, I don't think I'm to that quality yet. And I said,
that's
you go 25 minutes with Mark Benjamin, I'm telling you, you can go out there and go to a big show.
I saw on Facebook he thanked Brett for some comments he made. And Brett said, hey, and that's exactly what Brett said. If you can run with Mark for that long, because Mark's a good driver, and Mark's got. Awesome equipment.
Mark needs to run some big shows.
Yes, he does.
Mark could do, but I don't know why he doesn't. Because Mark could be just as great as anybody else in the air. I mean, Mark is great.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great driver.
Yeah.
A lot of people will bitch that he's a bagger, but his patience is awesome.
But know what, though? The funny thing is Mark and Brett have a lot in common. Ben and I remember when Mark first started running, he basically ran Slammer. For his mom and dad, they put him in whatever, and he would just junk stuff, like how Brett started.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Mark decided, "Hey, I'm going to start winning."
I
and Mark
win.
Started winning.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's he's done been on both sides.
You know, they don't let double stuff tires there.
Yeah.
Okay, but everyone has them there. Yeah. When I went there, I ran double stuff.
Yeah, but he got caught because they had to pick it up.
He got caught because
same way with their.
So did second place stand? Second place did stand for him, or
no?
They
gave him third place, and I said it. That's absolute stupid. BS. You could have gone and drilled every tire in that place, and they were doubled.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ben Lavangi, who was a regular up there with Woodburger Demolition Derbies, won a JM show over the weekend at in Goshen, Connecticut, and then. John Kelly was second there. He turned around and he won Lebanon. Lebanon.
The John Kelly?
The John Kelly. Yeah, he turned around. He won Saturday.
I wrote him a nice little note. Hope he did good out there.
Saturday.
Congratulations.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was like a little league benefit derby. And then he turned around and went back to Goshen Sunday. And whose phone is not muted?
Sorry.
I'm tired of listening to doorbells.
Dang.
And then then Sunday, John went back out and he won the figure eight race at Goshen. And he won his heat and the feature in Goshen and the figure eights, but he had a strut break. So a lot of Father's Day action in the Northeast. We've got Daryl Monroe on the line here, winner of Metal Mayhem. That was kind of a big deal over the weekend. You know, Daryl, congratulations on that. You know, tell us a little bit about what it's like to walk away from Metal Mayhem as the champion.
Yeah, it's a pretty good feeling, buddy. I got pretty lucky at the end. Victor Weatherly, he made a crazy happen, and I just wound up being able to pull it away due to his crazy mistake he made. I throw a little bit out to Victor Whaley because going for him making that mistake, I don't know if I could have made it on three wheels.
Mm-hmm. talk about how tough it is to win that feature. I mean, it's a grind, man. You gotta keep your head in the game. You've had a little bit of practice so far this year, running some extra length time. You were out there at Razorback, and you held your own there, and you had a pretty good showing at Bash for Cash a couple weeks ago here over Memorial Day weekend. Now you turn around, and did that help you prepare for this thing and teach you anything getting ready for Metal Mayhem?
I don't know, man. I ran out there last year, and Fouché, he wound up winning. I wound up taking second with a broken arm last year, and I just had my head set. I wanted for thanks for Adam. I wanted to bring the trophy back from Adam. He couldn't make the trip, so I brought it back for him, and just kind of had my head set. I mean, him had been messing around, laughing and cutting up, he said, "You ought to just leave it in Kentucky. It's coming back," and I just kind of laughed about it. I said, "Yeah, whatever, buddy. I'm going to Ford. I want to do it in Ford." And I don't know, man. It's just weird how it happened. I can't believe it, but it happened. It's pretty weird.
Let me ask you, for the guys that weren't there, you're saying that Vic Whaley made a mistake, and could you kind of talk about that real quick? What did you see that all of a sudden you capitalized on in those last few moments?
Well, last few moments, man, I had that wagon. I mean, it happened so fast. We had five of us still running, Victor Whaley, me, that C7, the Hemmer car, and then you had Jimmy Johnson, and you had Bobby Whitaker, two of the best couple drivers out there.
Definitely.
Next thing I know, I'm looking around. I'm looking for Bobby Whitaker and Jimmy Johnson, and no sight and hair. Everything looked dead at the end of the track. And next thing I know, I get hit so hard, I kind of feel my car drop, and happen to glance over to my right, my rim and tires rolling across the track due to, I guess, the Hemmer hit me so hard. And I thought, man, you know, here I am. I'm down. And Victor come up, hit me in the side, got me moving again, and I wind up moving around a little bit, and I thought Victor was coming after to get a good shot. He got one shot on me, and then he backed up. And next thing I know, here he goes toward the wagon, and hadn't glanced back, and getting ready to make a hit. And next thing I know, they're hung up. So, you know, it's just weird how everything happens in a matter of minutes.
Sure. Yep.
Awesome.
Sure. Yeah, it was Hemmer ended up finishing third in that rundown, and then they scored Chad Hemmer, I believe. And it was Bobby Whitaker and Jimmy Johnson were scored in a tie for fourth, basically, because they hit each other nose-to-nose. They got hung up on each other, and the shot clock started on both of them at the same time, so they went out together. But, I mean, interesting span of circumstances. Jimmy Johnson lost the steering on the first shot of the feature.
Wow.
No, he said he was fighting it a long time.
Yep. Wow. How long was the feature? I didn't hear
I think an hour and 26 minutes or something like that. Somewhere in there, an hour and 20 minutes.
I mean, how long is that when you're sitting there in the car? Does it feel like it passes in no time, or does it feel like an eternity, Daryl?
Well, you know what? Man, you got so much going on out there at the time. It's unreal. I mean, you don't keep up with time. Not to go back to last year, but last year we run 2 hours and 10 minutes. felt like eternity last year. This year it felt pretty, you know, about as close. But, you know, you just got so much things going on in your head. You're trying to make the licks you need to make, use your head right, and then, you know, you don't want to do nothing crazy to get you hung up or get over in the corner where somebody's going to push you up in a dead car or something crazy. You know, you just try to stay out of the heat. You know, I went to one end at one time, and I had a couple cars on me, and, you know, Victor was one of them, and I think the 1C, which both of them's real top-notch drivers. They was on me at Arkansas, and, you know, I just tried to break away from that, get back down the mix, right. Keep all the heat off. And
right, get out of there.
It is what it is. It kind of paid off for me to do what I needed to do, but you just kind of lose track of time, man. You're trying to figure out what hits to make and not to be stupid doing it when you got the kind of money you got on the line there. And I just didn't want to make a stupid mistake. I was kind of trying to focus, you know, and try to do something that I didn't get done last year.
So I guess maybe let me reword that question then. So what was longer, the first 80 minutes or the final five?
Probably the final five. Yeah. You know, when I looked around and seen Whitaker and Jimmy Johnson, I couldn't even spot them. And then I took a hit, like I took off hammer. My head bounced off a pillar post, and I thought, man, where am I at? And I'm going to tell you what, that's one wagon. It was pretty hard, pretty hard.
Now, what do you think? Last year you say you ran for over 2 hours. This year you're about an hour less than last year. What do you think caused that? Was it less cars? What will cause something like that? That's a big difference from year to year.
I wouldn't say less cars. I'll say I'm going to tell you what, anybody that was in that feature should have been there in the feature. There's a lot of top-notch drivers that come to Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't downgrade any of them guys. If you made it to the feature, you deserve to be here in the feature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it was just the shot you take. Getting in the moment, making a bad decision, who fight you want to pick and
right.
And who you don't want to pick with. You know, everybody had buddies out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come from Kentucky by myself. Last year I had little help. This year, you know, Bobby Whitaker, you know, he come up and talked to me a little bit, you know, and he's one of the top-notch drivers in the Derby world. And Jimmy Johnson, I don't want to take nothing away from him because he's top-notch too. There's probably a lot of other ones that, you know, just hadn't been in the big time, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, man. I'm going to tell you what, that they can drive. And when I step on the track, I don't look down on anybody because you can take a guy that's been driving 2 years. It just depends on how long he's watched.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take it away from any of them. And future icons, I mean, there was a lot of good future icons out there. And the Derby world bringing up these young guys, and you know, I've been running 19 years, and, you know, I won't take it away from a young guy. We got young guys up at home, and, I mean, they'll wear you out if they get a chance, you know, and just don't take it away from a young generation. You want the Derby world to build, and
yep.
And that's where I'm at, you know. I don't know how many more years I got left, so, you know, I just do what I can do and enjoy the moment while I got it.
Safe to say this is the biggest win of your career?
I've had some big wins. I won Bowling Green last year in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It was a $10,000 show, but
that's the nice. Bud Blowout, right?
As far as you know, competition and everything, it don't matter what derby I go to. I go there thinking, you know, there's the best of the best. But Mayhem, you know, Tory, I think one of the reasons why he had a little car count, low car count, I think a lot of it was from Charlie's show previous week. But as far as DI show, I'll tell anybody and everybody, it don't matter if one car shows up or you got 100. Tory's money's guaranteed. You can't beat Tory. You can't beat his crew.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There were some calls that, you know, with his crew that I didn't agree with. But you know what? They're the inspectors. I got to do what they say. So I just go along with what they got and just hope for the best at the end.
Absolutely. No, it's cool. That's
yeah.
Very good.
Speaking on the end, the internet's blowing up, so you care to give your real version so all the bullshit can be set aside?
Now say it again. I couldn't understand you.
The internet's blowing up about the finish and afterwards, and you know all the people that probably thought they should have won didn't win, and of course they're going to point fingers when discrepancy comes up with the post inspection. You want to put some of the
was there anything to that?
Yeah, you want to put some of the rumors to rest while you're on here. So
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people I feel like it's in the stands and on the sidelines, they don't see everything behind the scene.
Right.
When you got 70 and 80 errors in these cars, you're welding and stuff, you know, I own my own business and I work hard. I work daylight to dark on a roofing company. And I come in and I work 3 or 4 hours a night. And thanks to my father-in-law, Chuck Roby, I wouldn't be able to run the way I've run this year. He's kind of backed out of the scene and he kind of retired and all that good stuff. He helps to build my cars. But it's kind of like the people that's in the background are the ones talking on the internet. They ain't got nothing better to do than talk about somebody.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that. I've learned the derby world. You know, I've been in it 19 years. You know, they can say what they want to say on Lee Crash. They can say, you know, they can talk shit about Jory, pardon my language. They can talk stuff about me. But I've had my brother. He's been upset about it over the last few days about, you know, this guy saying this guy saying that.
Mm-hmm.
It don't bother me because, you know what, when it's all said and done, if they had the money, the time that I have in a car and they're out there running, mm-hmm. they do the same thing. You know,
it's
got $12,000 at stake. You gotta figure out what you're going to do. You got to figure out, you know, the right move to make. I feel like I was hitting hard. It doesn't say nothing in the rules that you got to be wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So there's drivers out there that want to make a name for themselves, and I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But I drive the way I drive, and this time it worked out for me. I mean, that's where I leave it at.
Right.
You know, Daryl, we have a friend up here that does a lot of winning, and he takes abuse for, you know, sandbagging or smart driving or whatever. But what it all comes down to, and what I've told many, many people is, hey, you know, if you want to beat the guy, you want a piece of him, all you got to do is go to the track. I'm sure you're probably not a hard guy to find on the track. And if somebody wants to come beat you, I mean, more power to him, right?
And, you know, exactly. You know, I won a derby up in Arlington, Kentucky this year. It was a 5,000 win. And Top Dog Promotions put it on, John Peck. And I wound up pulling it off. And I had a guy up there, a young guy coming into the sport, and I tell everybody he was wearing me out, you know. But it all boils down at the end of the night is, you know, who's a little smarter and all that, you know. And at the end of the night, I wind up pulling it off, and, you know. But the thing is, you got these young guys coming into the sport, and you got these people in the stand that wants to talk trash that's not out there. But, if you put them in a car or let them get in a car and come out and build that car, they know the time and the hours, and I'm pretty sure they do the same thing that all of us drivers that work real hard and that, you know, run all these shows, they probably do the same thing. But, you know, therefore, they're not out there, and it's easy for them to get on there and punch them keys and talk crap about us.
You know, so yeah. Just to clarify that, then, there was no situation where there's extra welds on the car or anything like that?
I'll put it to you blunt, and I have nothing to hide from you. My arch has bent real bad, and I had a quarter-inch weld on an arch. That's what they caught.
Mm-hmm.
They took $2,000 of my money, and, you know, I'll tell you right here, right now, I asked Tori where the money went, and 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th place got paid from the money they took from me. So,
right.
Way I look at that, they ought to thank me for doing...
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Man, I'll buy you a beer at the next show.
That's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
And, you know, it's not about the money to me. I'm not in it for the money.
Yeah,
I love to win. And I know when I go to these big races, I know there's a lot of people shooting for me. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know,
hey, at the end of the day,
I wasn't going to bring nothing up, but I figured y'all might say something. So the 7th, 8th, the 9th, and 10th place,
yeah.
I mean, they good. Need to thank me because.
Yeah, absolutely. They owe you a beer or something.
Hell, you did better than me. Did better than I would do. It wouldn't have been no quarter. Actually, it would have been probably about 4.
You would have lost a lot more money.
Well, yeah, That's all right.
Ultimately, a $10,000 payday isn't so bad, and the win stands. I mean, you made good on what you promised Adam. You brought that trophy home.
Yep.
Well, you're right, and you know, I've got to thank a lot of people, man. Guard Speed Shop, Jeremy Guard. I couldn't ask for a better engine builder. He's powered me through a lot of wins. You know, if anybody wants a good motor, I suggest it call Jeremy. I mean, he's one of the top notch.
Definitely.
And I run all his stuff.
Definitely.
Drive shaft to shifter to, you know, everything. And then, you know, Joker, I run all his ball joints, his tie rod ends, you name it. Joker's been very good to me. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be at.
He's watching, actually.
Yeah, because I didn't have the ball joints and everything after I run the bash. So, You know, I got to thank a lot of guys. I mean, it comes to driving, but, you know, I got to thank for their parts.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're the one that got me where I'm at.
Yeah, for sure.
My main focus when I went to Mayhem, I was wanting to win in a Ford. I wanted to be the first one to win in a new body Ford, and I did what I needed to do.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you set that, exactly. Set that right out there for sure. You already kind of went through and let everybody know who helps you put the car on the track. Is there anybody else you want to thank or recognize here before we let you go? I mean, great run, great weekend for you across the board.
I thank Ryan Tewinski on the tranny protector. I had his tranny protector on there. My father-in-law, Chuck Rovey, he helped me build the cars. If it wasn't for him, man, I don't know what I'd do. I work a lot and spend a lot of late nights in the shop, so does he. But, you know, I mean, Victor Whaley, I mean, I had to thank that guy. It's a bad mistake, and it all come out in my part.
Yep.
He's been running about as long as I have. He run back when I run 10-in shows. So
yep.
I got to think, I mean, he made a mistake. He come to me and told me, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I probably shouldn't have won that, but, you know, it happened the way it happened, and, you know.
Hey, they put your name on the check. You might as well put it in the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I got to take the money home and the trophies. I mean, that means more to me than anything. It wasn't about the money. It was just about winning the trophy, saying I wound up pulling Mayhem off. So.
Awesome. You still got to have a little luck out there, too. That's what helps.
Yep.
Definitely.
Well, you do, and you got to drive that car. You know, I tell everybody, I mean, you can build a car, but you got to know how to drive it, too. And
no doubt about it.
I'm one of the best, but, you know, I can hang in there with some of them, but I mean, it was a good show, and I think Tori would have had a whole lot more car count if it wasn't for Charlie. It ain't nothing wrong with DI shows. Tori's straight up as straight up can be. I think after this year, I think everything's going to get on track. They're trying to get these rules down pat. So, I mean, I've never seen nothing bad about Tori and his shows. His word is his word, and, you know, I enjoy running his shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, if we could touch a little bit on your driving style, I just want to touch on that a little bit with the sandbagging was, you know, you do get a lot of people from the stands that are always bitching about sandbagging.
Yeah.
But really, to me, I don't look at sandbagging like anybody can do it. I'm telling you right now, it's an art.
It takes talent.
It's an art. And half those people, all them people that are bitching from the stands that you're a sandbagger,
no
you
clue.
Put them in the car, they don't have the self-control
no.
to be a sandbagger.
No.
And if someone calls me a sandbagger, I'm okay with it because that means I was working out there.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you did the same thing. And for any real derby driver, they understand where you're coming from.
And
I really feel that.
And the people in the stands, from the stands, you have no idea the impacts and everything else.
No.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Where you think these guys are just going and bumping and making taps,
right?
I'm here to tell you, you put some of them people in a car and they'd be waving a red flag, let me out.
Real quick.
You know, real quick. And it's just...
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, because the looks are deceiving from the stands. And,
yes,
and I've told several people that. They come down, he's bagging, we'll get in the car.
Well, the best way to let them know what it's like is to allow passengers.
Hey, I'll let them ride with me any day.
I'll pass on that.
I'm good.
Nope, I got to work. Well, Dale, man, I appreciate you taking some time out and hanging out with us here, and appreciate Jeremy Gard helping get us together so that you come on and talk a little bit about that. And once again, you know, congratulations. It's a huge step. We've talked a lot about you in both our public conversations and privately, watching what you were able to do at Razorback Rumble, and then turn around, we were watching you real close at Bash for Cash, and you were knocking on the door, man. So this was one that was coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was hoping so, man. I was hoping really. I wanted to pull a bash, y'all, but you know what? I can't win them all, and it is what it is. I mean, there's a lot of good drivers out there in this world, and there's a lot of good coming up. So
yep.
I just hope the ones that are on a computer and all that want to run their mouth about people talking about sandbagging. If they get in the car, they really know what sandbagging is. But, you know, when you got 12,000 at stake, you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely,
exactly.
And where are you running next? What's next for you?
Man, I don't know where I'm gonna run. I'm gonna take a break for a while. I've had a rough since Arkansas, and I'm just gonna take a little break and kind of enjoy life a little bit. I got a daughter that's getting ready to run one for her first time, so I'm gonna try to get her one together, and I'm just gonna kind of sit back and enjoy it for a little while.
How about Blizzard Bash? Any chance we see you at the end of the year?
Yeah, I'll be here at the Blizzard Bash. I sure will.
We'll see you down there, man.
Excellent. Well, once again, congratulations, Daryl. We appreciate you taking some time.
I appreciate everything, and thank you all.
Thanks.
Congratulations, man.
Bye now.
Hey, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
If you ask anybody like, I haven't heard one person say, no, I'm not going to Blizzard Bash. Yeah. Like, everybody's going to Blizzard Bash.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there.
It's going to be crazy this year.
Yeah.
You know what's shaping up to be pretty crazy is that Grand Slam show with Dina Grand Slam.
That's yeah, I cannot wait for
that. That's going to be a ton of fun. We've been talking, it's going to be August 16th. We're going to be up there Friday ahead of time, and then we're going to be up there Saturday, and we're going to be doing the pre-race and post-race show. We're going to be taping. It's a team format derby. It's a minimum of 4,000 to win based on 8 teams, and if they get 20 teams, it goes up to like some crazy $6,000 to win for the last team standing. And it's a team format show with full-size cars. The rules that let you build to what your strong suit is.
For your type. Yeah.
And it's all packed into one day. They got chain and go. They've got compact trucks. They've got compact division. They'll pay a minimum of $850, which I think is a great way to do it. Minimum $850. They get more than 20 entries. They're going to kick that money up to $1,000.
Yeah.
So now you're not screwing around with that. Oh, we're going to have to cut the purse because we didn't get enough cars and we have to get this many in order to pay this much. Just say this is what we're going to pay, and we're adding after that.
I think promoters that do that shoot themselves in the foot. When you say, yeah, 20-car limit, it's like guys will say, like, well, screw that. I don't think 20 cars. And they write you off before your derby even.
You're right.
I do it all the time.
Right. Yeah.
And we have a promoter around here that does it, and I think a lot of guys write them off because it's like,
say,
I don't want
to. I'm paying $850, but I have to have 25 cars in the pits. That means that you're nervous that you're not going to get enough cars.
And drivers feel that.
Oh, yeah.
Drivers feel that.
And derby drivers are skittery anyway.
If a guy says $1,000 guarantee, I think almost, and especially in our area, guys show up to those because, again, it's guaranteed when you say that.
Yeah.
But when you don't, all of a sudden you have 6 cars, and there's like, why didn't anyone show up? Well, we're all nervous.
Yeah, right.
we're worried about the money at the end, you know?
Yeah, you pay what you say you're going to pay.
Right.
That's right. You come through.
Right.
But look them up. Wadena Grand Slam, they got a thread on We Crash. There's plenty of information on the Wadena County Fair. It's in Wadena, Minnesota. Awesome show. And we heard, was it last week when we talked with Chris Chris Zacharias, he said he's going to be there.
Oh, no.
Thunderbirds.
And he's got a T-Bird earmarked for it already. So that's fun. And that's right in the home neck of the woods for Lance Pritchett. And we saw him.
Tons of great teams
out there. Oh,
yeah.
So conceivably, you could see a team of 4 T-Birds take on a team of
4 wagons, 4 Buicks, 4
dude, 2
Electras.
4 wagons.
You don't want to be that. But I was thinking, set that up.
I want to watch that. That's heat number one.
Absolutely.
But
I'd actually like to see that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys in the wagons wouldn't.
No.
Depends on whose wagon.
Yeah,
that's true. But you get,
if they were 4 Ohio wagons, it would be a good show.
You get 4. I mean, just the team heats are going to be features, like we talked about Bash for Cash.
Absolutely.
But I mean, imagine 4 T-Birds taking on 2 Rivieras and 2 two-door Cadillacs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be sweet.
That would be fun. That would be there would be nothing left.
I was going to say everything would be junk after that. Yeah. Be,
there's
those guys
some,
would have a rough time
highlight
in the future.
Footage off that right there.
Oh yeah,
and there are going to be teams of Vicks there.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, let's see.
Where's your strength, man?
Let's see.
And you can't. It's such a wild card. You cannot say them birds are guaranteed to win.
No, but you can say those birds are guaranteed to put on a show.
Exactly. I'm not going
to
take that away from it all.
But, you know, that's kind of tough. Like, imagine being a driver. You get to pick what you're running out there. Wagon, you're backwards the whole time. And I think most drivers are anti that.
And Thunderbirds parking on your tailgate.
No, all night. All night. Oh, man, I can't wait.
Not just Thunderbirds.
Well, no, I mean,
yeah, everybody.
Everything's
going to
be going after him. But
just like a team of suicides.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that could be out there. There's builders out there that have those.
Really, you should split your team up almost. You take some absorbers and you take some hitters. You know, why not a team of 2 and 2?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That got me thinking.
The mix and match. The mix and match game up there is going to be.
Has Pete got enough rivies?
I don't know.
If not, I bet you can find more.
Imagine if Pete built 4 rivies.
He'd have to put his order into Redline because I think he's only got 2 of them.
Yeah, what's another 2 more motors? Yeah.
Well, we're gonna be able to learn a little bit more about the motor combinations when we talk to Jeremy Garden in a minute. We need to add one thing about the Keystone Nationals, and we're gonna let you know a little bit more about them. The week of the Keystone Nationals, we're scheduled to have a show on Monday, going into the 19th of July. You guys can do the math and figure out what that is. That Monday night, Bo Lockwood is going to be on the show, the promoter of Keystone Nationals, and we are going to draw the heats for Saturday's Keystone Nationals.
That's awesome.
On the crash course.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
Yep. That's great.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And there's only like a bajillion entries for that show, so it's going to be.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I haven't said this to anybody, but I actually just got the okay from Bo that I actually am going to run in the stock class.
Really?
I
no pressure.
When they had the stock class, they were down. They had one spot left. As soon as Bo put it up, I text him, I'll take that spot. I'll be the 30th guy. I'll be the last guy. And he said 5 seconds ago, Josh, I just said okay to another guy. I said, please, if throughout the year. And I just heard maybe like 2 weeks ago that a guy backed out. They had to like okay it through everybody at Brookville, but they had to come back, and they said they looked at it. I was the 31st person, and I guess I'm going to take a spot. I'm super excited about it because as the show keeps coming, it's like I want to go to this show. There's going to be some badass drivers there, you know? I know, you know, and the stock class will be fun, run one
they're
and
gonna,
done.
And they're going to introduce themselves to Josh Decker.
Oh, they're going to be junking me. I said to Mad Mike, I go, you can junk me all you want. You're not going to break the smile off my face.
Mike's going
to
be, yeah.
Mike yeah, Mike. Yeah. And his whole group will be just junking
we'll
me.
We'll get some vinyl decal bullseyes made up.
No.
No, you don't have to do that.
No.
No, it'll say Decker 21 on the side of the car.
Black,
they'll
black
know.
And in the corner.
They'll know exactly who it is.
I'm going down there. I'm going down there just for fun and to support it and meet new guys. I want to drive with those drivers down there.
So absolutely.
It'll be just for fun.
That is coming up. Something to look forward to on the 14th of July. But here's a little bit more about those guys out there at the Keystone Nationals.
The new rules are just right. Set aside July 19th for the reinvented Keystone Nationals. Again this summer, Bo Lockwood will host the Keystone Nationals at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. A revamped rulebook will help welcome an all-star field as the limited well division takes center stage in a feature paying $5,000 to win. Pre-entries for the stock division are already full. For more details, join the Keystone Nationals community online at www.facebook.com/KeystoneNationals. Once again, the Keystone Nationals, July 19th, 2014, at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, Brookville, Pennsylvania.
Total Destruction Demo Productions is primed for an explosive 2014. Based out of Truemansburg, Steve Manshaki and Lead Inspector Ben Hoff have a busy summer with four epic events over 7 nights scheduled all over New York State. The schedule starts with the Spring Fling in Morris, New York, June 14th. Total Destruction then hosts 2 nights of carnage at the Ontario County Fair in Canandaigua, New York, July 22nd and 26th. Then the grueling double down follows with the Otsego County Fair in Morris Plant for July 31st and August 3rd, and the Franklin County Fair in Malone set for August 2nd and 4th. For more details, visit www.totaldestructiondemo.com or call 607-769-6820.
O'Reilly Auto Parts proudly presents the Plymouth County Fair, July 26th, Lamar's, Iowa. Promoter Brandon Tyson has teamed with Ultimate Derby to bring a national level to one of the most aggressive and largest county fairs in the Midwest. 3,000 to win modified, 1,500 to win stocks, and 1,000 to win compacts. Passengers are welcome if you dare to ride along. The event is streamed free to the public online with 10,000 people. All courtesy of O'Reilly Auto Parts, the Plymouth County Fair, July 26th, Lamar's, Iowa. Online at www.plymouthcoderby.com. That's www.plymouthcoderby.com. The Seneca County Fair will be held Thursday, July 17th and Saturday, July 19th in Waterloo, New York. The two-day format includes something for everyone with a taste for elimination motorsports. Thursday's card is headlined by the Junk Run, allowing S10 Blazers, Rangers, minivans, Jeeps, and Ford Explorers. The card will include qualifying, advancing full-size competitors to Saturday's full-size championship, and then it will kick off with the four-cylinder figure-eight races. Championship night is July 19th. A full menu of qualifying heats for full-size cars will set the field. Then the four-cylinder one-and-done will crown the 2014 small car champion. The night concludes with a full-size championship action, with winners representing Seneca County at the New York State Fair Championship Labor Day weekend in Syracuse, New York. That's the Seneca County Fair, July 17th and 19th. To learn more, visit the fair online at www.senecacountyfairny.com.
And we're back. We got Jeremy Gard waiting in the wings here. Jeremy was very upset with me yesterday because I didn't wear my green Boston Red Sox hat.
Mm.
He was upset. So,
well, you look like a leprechaun today.
Well, thank you, Ben. That's awesome. But Jeremy, you got us? Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right, great, man. Well, congratulations, Gard Motor comes home with a win at Metal Mayhem. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Now this is two in a row. How many total have you got out there?
Total what? Wins?
Yeah,
wins this
at,
year.
At out of Mayhem.
Just two. Last year and this
last year.
Year.
That's still not too bad.
It's not pretty bad. Good.
How many Gard Motors are in the feature, Jeremy?
We had two from Canada, John Bell and Daryl Monroe.
Nice. Nice.
And the performance of those things, I mean, you heard Daryl talk about it. Daryl said if there's any place you got to go, you need to make a phone call to Guard. So
absolutely.
That was
that's awesome.
Pretty good endorsement. And we've watched the Guard guys do some pretty crazy things in the pits to make sure that those motors, if they're not running right, that the right one gets in it and they get out on the track and they hold up just fine.
Absolutely. Basher Cash, I went over because Dave Guard said, hey, they're changing the motor. And I went and watched. Jeremy was in the Bobcat as they were pulling motor out, and I'm pretty sure I saw his head spin all the way around due to the stress and tension he was under at the time, but he was running the Bobcat, and then I went back later as they were buttoning it up, and, you know, he definitely...
You missed it when I dropped the engine from 6 feet off the Bobcat. You walked away too soon.
Oh, I wouldn't want to have seen that. I probably would have cried. But, hey, I guess if it's the guy that built it that does it, I mean, you know...
Confidence in the engine cradle there.
I didn't even know that part of the story. That was that's neat. But, I mean, you know, definitely.
That's in Jordan Egram's new cage. I figured if it could handle a fall from 6 feet, we're good then.
There you go.
Those look nasty.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say nobody said anything, though, since it was you that dropped the motor, right? It was pretty quiet when that happened?
I blamed it on, like, a leaking hydraulic valve because everybody then wanted me out of the Bobcat.
There you go.
Good.
It was a foot pedal one.
Oh, yeah, they stink.
The hand pedal one, so I was relaxing my foot down and... it almost killed Jordan, but he's pretty quick, so he got out of the way soon enough.
That wouldn't have been good.
That's awesome.
No, yeah, it was a stressful situation, and it kind of got everybody laughing a little bit, so.
That's good.
You didn't have to go through any theatrics like that, though, this weekend, right?
No, not at all. You know, I went up, I didn't go up Friday night. I was actually finishing... putting Jordan's engine back together, the one that was in the car at the bash. So we went up Saturday. My wife and kids actually went to a derby with me. So we went up Saturday and made it a pretty quick trip, watched the show, turned around, and came home. So it was a pretty stress-free event for me.
That's good.
Nice.
That's always good.
That's good. It's always good to sit back and, you know, watch one of your pieces win. That's fun.
Except for the riders.
Yeah,
are we there yet?
There was a lot of... You know, the last six or seven cars seemed to go for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes. I mean, it was like none of them were dropping out, you know, and there were some good engines out there and good drivers out there, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Bobby Whitaker, you know, anybody, you know, Vic Whaley, anybody could have won that show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like Daryl touched on, it takes a little mistake.
Yep.
Uh-huh. It takes a little mistake, a little bit of an excitement, and, Vic Whaley's been doing it a long time, you know. He's one of the good guys, you know, and just a little bit of a mistake, and, you know, he would have been walking away with $12,000. But, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he likes to put on a show. He likes to hit hard, and what he wanted to finish the race out. It just didn't go his way that time.
Yeah, he's rolled several people at Mayhem over the years.
You know, they don't call him Mr. Excitement for anything.
Exactly.
You know, he paid his dues. And,
exactly.
That's awesome.
So, obviously, for me, it worked out good, you know, having Daryl win. Daryl's a good friend of mine and, you know, just a hell of a guy all around. He'll give you the shirt off his back, you know. He's just that type of guy. And, you know, my Spring Explosion car was Daryl's car, you know. I needed a car and didn't have time when we made that split decision, so... You know, Daryl said, hey, I got this car built. Come get it. You know, so that's the kind of guy Daryl is. So,
that's
nice. See him win. But, you know, Vic's been there at Mayhem from day one. You know, he's put in his dues and, you know, he got excited. I think he thought he had it. And so did I sitting in the stands. So, mm-hmm. you know, he'll come back and you know, do what he does.
Is it tough to watch a derby from the stands?
I'm going to tell you something. I was pretty relaxed. You know, my kids really enjoyed it. You know, I don't take them to a lot of shows because you see me at the bash. I don't have a minute. You know, we're running all over the place doing that. But, I mean, it was a lot less stressful this year. There weren't as many cars there, you know, and for me that takes a lot of stress off because there's not 25 cars to worry about like it's been in the past. You know, there was, you know, a certain amount of drivers there and you know, they were all in tip-top shape. So I was able to sit with my wife and, you know, She watched it, and I think she enjoyed it. Maybe not. I don't know. I think she got bored halfway through and was wondering why, you know, people were sandbagging. But, you know, I had to explain to her it's $12,000. You know, it's not, you know, a county fair, you know, where you go crazy for $600. You know,
it's like, honey.
So it was. I actually sat in the stands for once too. So that was fun.
That's cool,
Jeremy. When you sit in the stands, though, not that you probably do it very often, but I know for me personally, when I'm in the stands at a sporting event, it drives me insane because everybody around you knows how to, you know, they know how to drive better than the guys on the track. They know how to build better than the guys on the track. You know, it just, it doesn't, it always seems that when you're in the stands, the fans know how to do everything better.
Absolutely.
And it just, it drives me
everybody
nuts.
Everybody around me at that race was a professional. I wasn't sure why they weren't on the track.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing.
They left the cars at home.
That drives me absolutely.
It was crazy because I start, you know, Daryl wins. I'm excited. My, you know, my wife and kids, we all got our Guard Speed Shop shirts on. And I had John Bell and Matt Longus kids with me, too. They were, you know, out there or whatever. So I'm walking down, and you know, this lady looks at me. I don't know who she was. She's like, he didn't deserve to win. He sandbagged the whole time.
Oh,
and then, like,
Jesus.
Everybody's booing.
Thanks,
I'm like,
lady.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, lady, for your advice.
I have this moment. Got $20,000 in the car and just won a huge show.
Yeah.
Let him enjoy it, you know?
Jesus.
That's crazy.
Well, people hate. I mean, people, it's just, it's sad. Yeah,
that's hard to do.
How well did this work out? We got Daryl Monroe who won. We got his motor builder on the phone, and Joker's T-shirt is represented here, and he's listening online.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to tell you something. I know Daryl touched on Matt Joker.
By the way, Jeremy is Daryl's publicist.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
hear you.
Go ahead.
All right, you know, I got to throw a little bit out for Joker because that guy is doing a lot for the sport right now. Daryl, I don't know if he said it. I kind of caught in Daryl's a little bit late, but. He needed some parts. The parts got there the day before. You know, Daryl mailed the check that morning. The parts got there that day for Mayhem.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, doing a lot for this sport. People need to, you know, support people like that. You know, he takes care of me. You know, bump ideas off him. I mean, he's a hell of a guy, and, I mean, he needs his recognition. I mean, he's getting it, but from me and you know, from Daryl giving that, I mean, you know, Joker's helped me out a lot with spindles and parts and, you know, ideas, things like that, and I mean he's a heck of a guy.
You know, we met Joker when we were out at Bash, and after our podcast we got to talk to him for about an hour or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed talking to him. Absolutely. he was helping us. He was kind of explaining things that I didn't know about, which is a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was real cool about it, and I really like Joker. I thought
he was one of the only autographs that Josh had asked for instead of giving up.
I take a Joker for what autograph. He does. He's a modest guy, and I mean
yeah he's a good guy.
He comes across, you know, kind of crass sometimes on the internet, but he's a lot like me. Either you like what I say or you don't. And mm-hmm. if you don't like what I say, then don't listen to what I say.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I'm not going to sit and let you tell me what I'm saying is wrong because it's not your opinion. And he's a lot like that. So a lot of people, you know, might get, you know, swayed, you know, from buying parts because of that. But, I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about.
He does.
He's paid his dues, and he's not just BSing, you know.
Yes.
They're dumbasses if they let that sway him from buying their parts.
Yeah, no
parts.
Kidding.
Hey, you know what, though? There's all kinds, bud. There's all kinds.
And that was the thing. Right. I think I've mentioned it on here before. Joker said some just great things about our show on Facebook. And I friend requested him, and he accepted. And then I just sent him, I said, hey, man, thank you for, you know, the kind words, you know, a big name like you. And he wrote me back. I mean, it was a long, you know, return. It was basically a letter, and he said so much great stuff about us. And I mean, he is definitely just a really great guy, and you know, I mean, he's really done some nice things. And you know, Jeremy Gard too. I mean, Jeremy, you know, he's helped us out when he, you know, set up this interview for us. And you know, I mean, we've been getting a lot of help,
Brian,
from a lot of big names.
You're still not going to get a free Mopar motor.
I think I've given up on that.
Okay,
good because you ain't going to get
listen,
it.
Listen, I'm building slow. I bought the hat first.
Yep.
Then I bought a gas pedal.
Yep.
Carburetor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got that all by my wife without her saying a word.
Now I'll take a second mortgage.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to figure out how I'm going to get the only Chevy motor I would run would be a Jeremy Gard
Absolutely.
Motor.
Right.
But
right.
I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to swing that much money past the wife.
Just sell your truck.
We got payment plans, buddy.
Perfect. Like, can I send you $20 a month for the rest of my life? Are you all right with that? I mean,
you're embarrassing us. Stop.
$20 a month for the rest of my life. I'm all right with that.
Stop it.
We might have to bump that up a little bit with interest, but I mean, yeah, $20 is fine.
And I will say this, and I'm not going to tell the price, but I've talked to Jeremy online and stuff, and I actually got to meet him and shake hands at Bash, and I wanted to know. So I said, Jeremy, I said, that motor right there, which is the motor that he'd built for himself at Bash for Cash, he had sold to the guys from Canada, and then they were putting it in another car to run. I said, Jeremy, what does that motor right there cost? And he told me, and he said, well, you know, I give the guy a little bit of a break because he's bought six or eight motors from me. But still, still, the price that he gave me, and he goes, that's with the distributor guard or the carburetor, whatever is on it, was amazing.
A good price.
I couldn't, yeah, I yeah. mean, it was, you know, compared to some other prices I've heard, it's, you know, I don't know how you could not buy them. Mm-hmm. Just amazing.
You have to take care of the people that take care of you. Exactly. And, you know, yes, there's guys out there that, you know, every derby I go to, they got a Guard Speed Shop hat on or a Guard Speed Shop shirt on, and they're running my engines. And you know, you have to stay loyal, you know, yes, to sir. Your customers. And, yep. and you know, if they're a repeat customer, which is, you know, I'm getting a lot of that right now. A lot of people wanting second setups, a lot of, you know, stock setups now. People are wanting stock engines built, you know, which we're going back to the roots of, you know, just basic parts and you know, basic pricing, and that's going good. And you know, you got to take care of the guys that, you know, without guys, you know, winning shows for you and talking about you, you don't sell engines. You know, most people listen to the bad. You got to remember that.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Nobody listens to the good.
Absolutely.
But you got to support the guys that are there for you. You know, and before, you know, I talked about Rob before Spring Explosion. You know, but when Rob Switzer from Canada, Switzer, I always say his name wrong. That's not important. when I was getting the car ready, you know, Daryl gets me a car. You know, Rob says, I'll meet you halfway from Canada if you need the engine. You know, just tell me. He goes, I'll leave the wiring hooked up to it, hook it up to your batteries, trannies on it, go run. I mean, that's the kind of customers I have, and I can't say enough about them.
Right.
That's, you know, incredible. They're loyal and they stay true.
It's,
you know,
very awesome.
I find that these days very often.
It's awesome that you're saying that, because, again, something we touched on yesterday on our NDC specials, there's a lot of people out there that are always negative and always being nasty, and that's not what's actually going on in Demolition Derby. And you're right that people only hear the negative, but think of how many great, good people are out there that are helping each other. And it's so great that you say that, because there's so much of it going on in the sport, and people don't hear enough of it, because it's all the wine asses bitching about it all the time.
Wow.
Sorry, I threw a lot of swear words at one time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I was trying to catch up.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, though? Yeah, I mean, we don't hear about all the great things, and it's good to hear them say, like, I mean, this is awesome to hear.
Because they're...
With me... Go ahead. Sorry.
Because what we got now is we're getting into this... We're in the shows, and everybody's getting out there and publicized the competitiveness that can go on in a track, but yet, as soon as you leave that track... It stays on the track.
Right.
And people will give you, like Jeremy says, people will give you their shirt off their back,
you
know, to help you out. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you're going out there and you're running headlight to headlight, you know, with smiles on your faces.
You know, it's a respect thing. And that's what I've been loving about going to these bigger shows is it's the next level. And for anybody that hasn't gone, start going, because if you actually witness guys junking each other and then shaking hands afterwards, it's kind of a cool thing.
I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I think some people hear us say the next level, and they might think that, you know, we're being, I don't know if the word is arrogant, but it's not that we're knocking local shows, but I mean, it's just like when you go from a college football game to a pro football game,
Brian.
You know what I mean? I mean, you go watch the way this stuff is built and the way the motors run and the way the guys drive at a bash, you know, at a Blizzard bash, at, you know, Metal Man or
but then the camaraderie between,
you know, guys are,
and all that stuff is.
I think when you say the next level, I think the next level's here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Now it just needs to be organized, and that's what you guys are trying to do with the committee here. And
thank you, Jeremy.
And there's a lot of nonsense out there, but I mean, like you said, these bigger shows, you know, Sam Williams, Tory Bash. I haven't been to the Bash for Cash in a couple of years just because timing. I went this year, and just a well-run show.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Him and Russ. I mean, that was a great show. Yes. Those guys, you know, class act. You know.
Yep.
You know. Just, you know, let my dad watch the Derby from the booth up there. You know, I mean, that's class act. Take care of guys. You know,
well, your dad wasn't in the Tory. Booth for the whole thing.
He's old. You got to keep him in the air conditioning. He's getting old.
Well, he was hanging out with us for a while.
Brian was annoying him.
No. Stop.
You know, Mayhem, a lot of people, I want to touch on this. A lot of people are, you know, dogging it because there weren't that many cars there. It's a transition year. You know, there was some BS surrounding the first show of the year, and I think a lot of that got aired out, and it is what it is, you know. And I mean, with the rule changes, you know, if they stick to their guns, the first year is always going to be the toughest year.
Yeah,
and that's true. But the thing is, if you give it in, you're going to take a mile, and you know, if they stay strong, it'll grow back, you know. But you know, it's a good show. There was 34, 36 cars in the Mayhem class. I don't remember 32, maybe, I don't know. but they were well-built cars.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of new faces there. So, I mean, they're in a transition period. I mean, you get everybody on board. I mean, it can only get better. I mean, I think we've seen the worst it could be, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And you know, it's got to get better from where it's at.
Well, we can only hope. And we're gonna pick up Travis Stewart here in just a minute. Jeremy, I got to let you go, but I appreciate you making some time out. Congratulations again on getting the motor in victory lane. Good weekend for you front to back, and it sounds like you got a chance to actually relax and enjoy a derby a little bit.
I did, and I will probably see you. I'll be there. Hopefully you guys are there at Blizzard Bash. And,
no.
Yeah, we'll be there.
If I got to walk, I'm going.
I heard it's a good show. I'm going to try it out this year.
Yeah.
You guys are moving too fast to enjoy it. That Guard Speed Shop that, you know, gets heats done in 3 minutes. That's
yeah.
You guys got to sit back and relax a little bit and enjoy the show.
You need as much time as possible to work on your cars, and they do it.
We just want to get it over with.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go.
My team's a bunch of alcoholics. So right.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks again, Jeremy.
All right, guys.
Talk to you all later. We'll see you later. Yeah. Bye now.
I wanted to ask motor questions. We didn't get to talk to a motor guy about motor questions. We got to have him on again.
Look, what I think we need to do is we need to have a couple different motor guys on.
Yeah.
And we'll do one of those like what we did with the parts. We'll just focus right on motors.
That'd be awesome.
What I really don't want to have happen is because we do have to get out of here just a touch early. So that we can't go over because they got a couple new shows coming up on Figure Lakes One TV tonight that you'll be able to see at the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour. So we got to get our stuff done, and I didn't want to miss Travis at the same time. So you know, who do you want to see in terms of motors?
Guard, you'd have to
see
Jeremy.
Guard,
Baldwin,
guard,
Baldwin, Grop,
Redline. I mean, Josh Buell's bought that diver one from Florida,
divers,
and that was nasty.
You get there's a ton.
There's C&M, right? Yep. Which is Midwest.
Kohler. I don't think you're gonna get Kohler on here. Otis Motors. I mean, it's you got
C&M. The other guy, I think another guy in New York has a C&M motor. I can't think of his name. He usually runs Cuba. He had it last year. And yeah, he's good to run the motor.
Hey, I want to say Josh Wagner's watching with his little kid Alex. I want to say they're watching us right now. His kid is little, loves our show.
So. Oh yeah, his little one.
So I just want to throw out to Alex watching. Keep watching us, buddy.
We got Travis on the line. Congratulations, Travis, on that win over there at the Spring Fling.
Thanks, guys.
You know, I'm glad you were able to make a little bit of time, and we could get together and talk a little bit about it. You had one goal in mind, going out there to win that thing 4 years. Your dad built the motor for you, and it was tuned up. The thing was running awesome, and you knew what you had to do. You had to get rid of Rick Engelhardt's Imperial, and you did that in one fell swoop when you put him up on the wall and put the doors in on his transmission tunnel. How rewarding was that?
What the heck?
How much fun was it to win?
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, I've watched Rick drive for many years now, and when I seen that his Imperial was going to be in the future, I really didn't think I had it cut out with Monte Carlo. And then I guess just fate just took its way, and one bad shot, and I don't know what happened with him, but I know that.
Well, his back tires were off the ground. That's what happened.
Car, in my opinion, I didn't even imagine it coming around sideways like it did, and then I
nobody
seen the
did.
Shot, and there's only one way to do it, and that was take Rick out.
You know, but like I said to you, at the track, that's why we derby, because on paper, Rick Engelhardt coming in with a fresh Imperial, and everyone else has got somewhat bent stuff. On paper, he won that derby.
His Imperial was bent. The back was bent. He had some issues with the back. I mean, it wasn't. Don't say fresh because
I'm just worried about the front.
We have issues with fresh cars type deals, but no,
it looked clean enough that I really thought it was going to
from the front seat forward. There wasn't anything wrong.
Well, except the motor knocking. He was having a little bit of a motor issue.
But that was Travis. I told him afterwards. I'm like, man, that's like everybody's glory shot.
Absolutely right.
You got passenger doors sticking out. You got 3/4 of a track. Let her eat.
You know,
and see what happens.
Rick is a fantastic driver. I mean, we've all seen him. He does not make a lot of mistakes in the Derby. He does not make mistakes, and he made a mistake, and you caught it, and it was great driving on your side, and you deserve the win. It was really good driving.
He drove a good Derby.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Travis drove a good Derby in the heat.
Yep.
It right to the feature. I mean, because you get the knuckleheads that just
you
want to go
patient.
Out there.
Yeah,
just,
no. He was patient. He made good shots. He wasn't hitting corners. I mean, he was doing really well.
And the front end of that Monte Carlo, the bumper was inside out, and the front rails looked like silly string when he was done.
Yeah, it was bad.
And he was going nose to nose with that Aspen.
You're looking at it right now, and it's junk.
What was it like going nose to nose with that Aspen? You know, you're going headlight to headlight, just head to head, and the guy that you're hitting doesn't have a bumper, but his shocks are levying some
taking
damage.
Taking it, yeah.
Yeah, that Aspen was impressive, too.
I'm not really sure. I mean, once I had Rick gone, I mean, I was real confident after Rick was out that
you had it.
I figured I could take that Chrysler because I'm not sure what was going on, but I heard that Donegan kid's Chrysler skipping like crazy when he went by me, and then I started trying to push him down the track, and I didn't quite have enough traction. I mean, it was wet. And
you were pushing him into a runway. Yeah. That was real dry where he was sitting, but it just wasn't running right.
Uh-huh. But
where'd you get that?
He came up to me afterwards, and he showed me his coil wire, and it was broke. So, I mean, it was all luck. That's how the only way I can explain it.
Hey, it's better to be lucky than good.
No, I'll take a lucky win anytime, man. I'll take them. Where'd you pull that Monte Carlo from? Because I looked at the frame rails just as I was passing by, and them things were spotless. Where'd you get that car?
This car was stupid clean other than the trunk pan.
It was.
I actually picked it up down in Roscoe, New York.
Yep.
The kid called me up. I was on my way back from a deer hunt in Alabama. And asked me if I was interested in Monte Carlo, and me personally, I wasn't interested in Old Iron this year. And I went down and took a look at it and had to have it.
Yeah, because I busted his balls a little bit when I was looking at it.
No, the rails were spotless.
He goes, I didn't paint it. I really didn't paint it.
But it was a clean car for the most part. I mean, the floor pans were a little rough, but other than that, it wasn't bad. I didn't have any holes in the frame, and I guess that kind of worked out in the advantage.
So,
I kind of wish the rear frame was a little bit rotten after Saturday, because it probably would have took a different path of fate when it bent.
Right.
Now, did you notch the back rails on that, or you just left them alone?
I notched them. I notched them right in front of the bumper shocks, but
they still seemed to buckle real bad there on the
path. That if it was rotten, it would have went up. Because it buckled right in the center of the humps pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
It's weird. Sometimes the most solid cars bend the weirdest. Even if you notch them and hump them or notch them and all that stuff, it's weird how, you know, sometimes a little crusty actually folds in a little better.
Right.
Nah, congratulations, man.
Yeah, that was first. I didn't realize it was your first win, man. That's awesome. Congratulations.
That was my first win. That was actually my first win of a heat, win of a feature, everything.
Well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it all at once.
And he's a new member of the NDC.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. First member of the NDC to win.
First NDC feature winner.
Yep. I saw the NDC website.
Buddy.
Congratulations,
you're in the history books.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Did it all at once. And your dad, man. I there was nobody happier at that track than your dad, Dale.
Yeah.
That guy, I mean, he was shaking. He was just amped up, just excited as anything that you got that win.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
He kept arguing with me the night before because I was trying to button the car up and just going over, checking different things here and there. And he's like, just don't worry about the car. Just go out and drive it.
Yeah.
And I had to relax and just go to bed the night before at like 1 in the morning and just go in and relax. The car was done. I was ready to go. I kept doubting every bit of the car.
Yep.
You know, he's right, though, because especially at a derby when there's not a lot of cars in the feature like that one, driving is so important because one bad shot, like Rick took, your night can be done in one shot instead of a bunch of small shots, you know? So you drove really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Travis really well. Travis had an eighth-mile head start on him when he was coming at him.
Oh, he was coming.
There was a lot of room. You know, Jason Sherman.
The minute I seen Rick's the flappers on his stacks not moving.
You had him.
But I was trying to read what he's going to do. I watched him drive for years, and I still can't read what his next move is. And I seen his flappers weren't opening on his specs, and that was a glory shot.
Yes. Yes.
But,
and you took it and you won.
It was definitely a good show.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'd like to see the car come a little bit better. It would have made more of a feature, more heat. But It was a good show for what we had for cars there.
Yeah, that show is about an average for the spring fling. I mean, you know as well as anybody else. I mean, the fair is going to be insane.
Well, we wish you.
I've already got messages on Facebook about everybody bringing their 03 and older Cradle Swap cars. No.
Well, Travis, I mean, I wish you the best. I wish you the best at the fair. I look forward to talking to you again here soon. Congratulations to Eric Eberling taking on the truck win and Jason Sherman taking on the compact win. Both of those guys drove the wheels off their stuff, too.
Yeah, they did.
We look forward to catching up with you again. We are just flat out of time. Another hour gone, and it went by fast, man. Congratulations. We got to let you go. But look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You thanks, too. Travis. Thanks. Take care now. Guys, that's going to do it for us. We appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us here on the Crash Course. We're going to do it again next Monday. We look forward to seeing you then. Thanks a lot. Oh, wait. Maybe not yet. Okay. Now. Yeah, now we're done.
Thank you.